Okay. Suppose that we're beginning or moving to a continuation of our original topic that we're here at the two dots, but the Gemara transitioned to a new discussion. So Gemara is explaining and commenting on the line in the Mishnah, Hamaveh Hever. So Hever, of course, is fire. What is Maveh? So my Maveh, and this is a machlekes the Gemara alluded to earlier on the Yomud. So Rav Omar, Maveh Zeh Odom. Maveh refers to an Odom Hamazik. Shmuel Omar, Maveh Zeh Hashen. Maveh refers to an animal that eats someone else's produce. Rav Omar, Maveh Zeh Odom. How do you know that it's Odom? So the quotes from the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshayo. Omar Shomer Asa Voiker V'gam Laila. Im Tevoyun Boyu. So here, Im Tevoyun Boyu means if you make an inquiry, you'll make a request. V'shmuel Omar, that's people do that. People make requests. People make inquiries. So it's referring to a person, the language of Tevoyun Boyu, which is the language of Maveh. Shmuel Omar, Maveh Zeh Hashen. No, Maveh refers to an animal that eats someone else's produce. Tachsiv, because he quotes from the Pasuk in Sefer Ovadia, Eich nech besu Esav nivu matzvunov. Esav has spread out and taken over your hidden places, or revealed your hidden places. So nivu really here means revealed, which reflects shane. Shane are teeth, which are sometimes hidden, sometimes revealed. So my mashma, what does the Pasuk mean? Could the Metargim of Yosef, Rav Yosef told us the Taich in the Pasuk, Ichtin is Balish, Asu is Galin. Those places that were hidden are now revealed. So, okay, so it means Shein. Rav, my time, Elo Amar Kishmuel. Why doesn't Rav say like Shmuel? Amar Lachami Katani, Niveh? Does it say Niveh, which means, make a request? No, it says Maveh, Vishmuel, my time, I'm sorry, that's Rav says to Shmuel. Shmuel says the one, I'm sorry, who said that it means Shane. So Rav, who holds his other mamazik, why doesn't he say like Shmuel? Because Niveh would mean revealed. Yeah, not Maveh. Shmuel, my time alone, like Rav. Why doesn't he say that it's other mamazik? Amalucha mi katani boeh. Boeh means request, an inquiry. So that would imply human involvement. Doesn't say boeh, it says Maveh. So Michli Koi lo Kamar Daiki v'lo Kamar Daiki, the Pasuk implies like neither one. So Rav my time alo Amar Kishmuel, the Pasuk is not exact according to either. So Rav my time alo Amar Kishmuel, why doesn't he say that it's referring to Shane? Because Tana Shor v'chol miwi d'shor, one of the items, the Avos Nezikin in the Mishnah, is Shor, that includes everything that the Shor, all the damage that the Shor could cause. The Shmuel Nami, Hatana le Shor, what about Shmuel? Taka, it says Shor. Amar Yehuda, Tana Shor le Karno u'mava l'shinoi. Shor refers to goring, Maveh refers to eating. They're two separate categories. Okay. But just taking going back for a second to something that the Gemara said, kind of by the way, when the Gemara wanted an interpretation, a taich in the pasuk of this Sefer Ovadia, Eich nech besu, Esav nivu matzvunov, who did the Gemara quote? Who provided the translation? Was Rav Yosef. Why was it Rav Yosef who gave the translation? We normally don't ask these types of questions. Why was it that Amora who happened to be there at that moment, who happened to have the translation on hand? But that's the question that's bothering Tosis. Why was it specifically Rav Yosef? So Tosis says over here, different masva kidim etargim, Rav Yosef. Narka Rav Yosef, ufishay abaki betargim. It was Davka Rav Yosef because he knew Tanakh well, or he knew Targum well. Sheesh kaminyoni Targum. There are many versions of the Targum, and Rav Yosef was a baki in all of them. V'loki the pirish ba'alma, and not like there are those that say out in the world, v'fishay esagi nohar, that it's because he was blind. That we know from many places in Shas, Rav Yosef was blind. And a blind man, to quote Tanakh, is improper. That's so. He knew the Targum better than everybody else. Because he wasn't allowed to learn, he wasn't allowed to recite the psukim as they were. He had to say it over in the Targum. Why? Because dvarim shebichsav, iyata roshay loymar alpeh, you're not allowed to recite psukim in Tanakh orally. So therefore, he had to say it over in the Targum. Mukachay omer Targum, because he couldn't say it from the written text. He was blind. He was a saginar. So says Tosis, that cannot be the pshat why it was of Yosef who knew the Targum well. He happened to know the Targum well. He was a baki in Targum. Taisa says it cannot be that he was conversant more than everybody else in the Targum, or he was the one who offered the pshat in the Targum, because he was blind and wasn't allowed to recite the pasuk orally. Because the Gemara will tell us the mishum eis lasos, when a time comes to act for Hashem, one is allowed to violate this halacha. Ve'elecha eis lasos gadol mizeh. There is no time to act more than this. Meaning, in order for Rav Yosef to be allowed to learn, you know, to take him away from learning entirely, would be a violation of eis lasos. When there's a time, you know, when one can accomplish great things, you're allowed to violate this halacha. And of course, to enable Rav Yosef to learn would have been sufficient grounds to violate this halacha. So therefore, Tosafot says it cannot be. That's why it was Rav Yosef who offered the explanation, the translation of the pasuk. It's rather just because he was a baki in Targum. But just to further, you know, to more thoroughly understand what Tosafot is talking about, let's see the source that Tosafot is citing, the Gemara Masechtas Temura, that has this discussion about reciting psukim and Tanakh orally. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Temura over here in Daf Yudal Mevez, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Kisisa, the Darash of Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, Miturgamina, the Reish Lakish, Kasav Echad Oimer, Ksav Lachas Hadvarim Ha'Ela. One pasuk says you should write these things down, that the Torah is supposed to be written. Kasav Echad Oimer, but another pasuk says, Ki Ha'Pi Hadvarim Ha'Ela, based on these words, which implies that it's oral. Loma Lacha Dvarim Sha'Alpe. I'm sorry, so that implies that it's oral. So is the Torah supposed to be written, or is it supposed to be oral? So, of course, we know that there's two parts to the Torah. That's not the chiddush of the pasuk. What is the chiddush of the pasuk? Says the Gemara Masechtas Temura, Lo malacha, dvarim shal peh, part of the Torah was oral. We knew that without this Gemara. Part of the Torah is oral. But iya tarash elam b'ksav, it has to remain oral. You're not allowed to write it down. V'shev b'ksav, the parts of the Torah that are written down, the Tanakh, iya tarash elam b'ksav, you cannot recite it orally. V'tan de Beir Bishmael Kasev Lachas Hadvarim Ha'Ela Ela Takoisev Aval Ena Takoisev Halochas. So you're not allowed to write things down, but they did write things down. So Ami Dilma Milsa Chadata Shiny. Maybe if it's something new, Chidushei Torah, then it's allowed. D'har Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Ma'ani B'Sifra D'Agadata B'Shabasa. They were learning a sefer on Shabbos of Agadata, which of course is Torah Shebaal Peh. How are they allowed to have a written version, a written account of the Torah Shebaal Peh? So they explained, Darshi Hachi, Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sarasecha, because the pasuk says when the time comes to act for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Heferu Sarasecha, we have the right to violate, to ignore the Torah. So even though you're not supposed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, well, in order to accomplish great things, you know, to accomplish something for Hashem, eis lasos l'Hashem, so then heferus arasech, you have the right to violate this principle that one is not allowed to write down the words of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Amri mutav te'akar Torah, v'al tishtakech Torah Yisrael. Let us violate this one principle rather than abandon and lose all of Torah in its entirety. So the Gemara really asks, how are we able to have, you know, Shas, Mishnayos, Talmud Bavli, it's all written down. Or the Gemara's example was the Sifra D'Agadata of Reish Lakish and Yochanan. And the Gemara says, because if we're not going to write it down, then all of Torah will be lost. Eis Lasos Hashem Hefer V'Sarasech. And Tosafot says as well, Rav Yosef, of course, would be allowed, even though he was blind, would be allowed to learn Torah Shebichsav orally. Now, the Gemara doesn't have it in that direction. Which direction does the Gemara say we could apply this principle? That you're allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Tosafot is using this to recite orally Torah Shebichsav. That's not really the same as the Gemara. Again, when did the Gemara say we can violate this principle? You can write down Torah Shebaal Peh in order so it shouldn't be lost. Torah Shebaal Peh should really be kept oral, as an oral tradition. You're allowed to write it down in order so it shouldn't be lost in its entirety. Tosafot says, for that same reason, Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, was allowed to recite Psukim and Tanakh orally. That's the other direction from that which the Gemara has. Rabbi Yosef, you hear what I'm saying? So if you look in the back of the Gemara in the Maariv Chiyus, he raises this issue. The Maariv Chiyus says that he thinks it must be, Tosafot held, that they're all the same. Meaning, if you can violate Eis Lasos Hashem Heferus Haresecha in order to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, it should really have remained Baal Peh, but you can write it down in order to, should it shouldn't be lost. So too, Rabbi Yosef was justified in reciting Psukim of Tanakh orally, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to learn, because he was blind, wasn't able to see the text. So you look at the Maharet Tzchias in the back of the Gemara, he says, Alpha Gav the Wonitin Lixav Dvarm Shabal Peh, Yet Harashi Gomer Bechsav, Aval Mized Mishum Eis Lasas Hashem Mutu Dvarm Shabechsav Bal Peh, Lo Nizka Shom Meuma, he says over there, the Gemara really doesn't say it in that direction. Efter Kavanah Satayis came in the Shnei Inyanim Elu, really one thing that each one should have its own form of, you know, Baal Peh should remain Baal Peh, Bechsav should remain Bechsav. If we can apply Eis Lasos Hashem Heferus Haresecha in one direction, we could presumably apply it in the other direction as well. So Taisa says that would have justified Rabbi Yosef reciting Psukim in Tanakh orally, and the only reason it was Rabbi Yosef who provided the Targum was he happened to be a bit of Bucky in Targum. Nothing to do with the fact that he was blind. Yeah.
Just to clarify the Maharet Tzchias, he's basically saying that, like, it's, I guess, subjective on the scenario?
Not at all. What he's saying is that if you writing down Torah Shebaal Peh is the same Iser as reciting Tanakh orally. Because each one has its, you know, way that right. It's supposed to be, that, you know, its form that it's supposed to keep to. So Torah Shebaal Peh should remain Baal Peh. Torah Shebaal Sav should remain Bechsav. So if you can write down Torah Shebaal Peh because of a great need, you can recite orally Torah Shebichsav for a great need. That's Taisa's stretch. The Gemara doesn't say that. That's what Taisa right. is inferring. But Rabbi Isai, not only do we have to worry about how did we write down a Gemara, how are we learning from text? The Gemara already dealt with that issue. How do we do that? Because if not for the fact that we had written text, I don't think we'd be going out on a limb to say all of Torah Shebaal Peh would have been forgotten. Already in the times of Gemara, the Gemara said, if we're not going to write it down, it's all going to be forgotten. But what about in the other direction? How do we recite Psukim of Tanakh, Baal Peh? We do it all the time. Where do we do it? We do it in davening. People do it all the time. Is that improper? And what are we accomplishing? So Rabbi Yosef was accomplishing great things, because if he wouldn't be able to say it orally, he wouldn't have been able to learn. Okay. We can learn from a text. Why aren't we careful to always say Psukim of Tanakh from a printed text? That's Tosfos's question, Masechtas Temura. Vim Toimar. Hechi kamrina mizmorim al peh. How do we say chapters in Tanakh baal peh? V'yesh loymar deim lahakbid rav ma'asher kasa b'chumash. Oh, maybe it's only Torah. Chamish chumshei Torah, not all of Nach. So, Pirkei Tehillim, we're okay. Tehillim zuggers. But he says, umnam kasha. But we do say psukim in chumash. What about v'yoyesha? Hashem, right before Oz Yashir. People say that Baal Peh. What about Kriya Shema, Psukim in Chumash? We say that Baal Peh all the time. Kriya Shema Lamita. Certainly, even during davening, many people say Baal Peh. The Taisus answers, V'yesh Loimar, De'ein lahakbid elo b'dover shemoytzi acherim yedei chayvasam. The only time that you have to be concerned with this is when you're being moytzi others yedei chayvasam. Meaning I'm saying it on behalf of others. If I'm saying Shema on behalf of myself, if I'm saying Oz Yashir on behalf of myself for davening, I can say it Baal Peh. The only time there's a concern is when I'm saying it on behalf of others. Either to be Moitzi, Rabbi Midei Chayvasam, or to, you know, to be Mafarsim something to others. But if it's not to others, it's to myself, then it's allowed. This is the reason... Why many are careful to lay in the Haftarah from a proper cloth, or if not a proper cloth, from a full Tanakh. Look over here, the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin the following. Rabbi v'Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Hai Sefer Haftarasa, Asa L'mikri Bei B'Shabbos. A Sefer of Haftaras. You ever see there's a red Sefer they published, a Sefer Haftarah. Let me see, some shuls have it. So you're not allowed to read that on Shabbos. My taima, delo nitin li kasev. What is the sefer of Haftarah? If you've ever learned from it, you know that it just has the Haftarah in every parasha, but it's not a full Tanakh. So they had such a thing in the time of the Gemara. Of course, it was not a printed text. It was a scroll. But it was just Haftaris. It wasn't a whole Sefer, you know, a whole Sefer Yeshayim. It was just the Haftaris. So you can't read such a thing on Shabbos. The Lo'ini Tinli Kasev, it's not supposed to be written in that fashion. It's supposed to be written as a whole Sefer. Look at Rashi and the brackets in the bottom. The Lo'ini Tinli Kasev, Pachos Mi Sefer Echad Shom L'Atzma, it has to be written as a separate Sefer. The whole Sefer. Mar Barvashi Amar, L'Toltuli Nami Yosef. Not only can't you lean from it on Shabbos, the Haftarah, you can't even move it on Shabbos. It's Muktza. My time at the Halachazi, the Mikrebe, because you can't read from it. Since you can't read from it, it has no use. So it's like a rock. It's useless. So it's Muktza. V'loihi, that's not true. Shari L'Toltuli V'Shari L'Mikrebe, you can move it and you can read from it. They wrote down Torah Shabbal Peh. How are you allowed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh? Even though it's not supposed to be written down. V'holo nitin likosev. Says, you're not supposed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. Okay, the Epshar, Eslaz, my favorite, says, there's no other way we're going to learn unless we write these things down. So they had to write the thing, they had to write down the Torah Shabbal Peh. And we allowed it. So too, we can lain the Torah Shabbichsav Baal Peh. Hachinami came and go Evshar. There's no other way. If we're not going to have a Sefer of Haftarah, how else are we going to lain the Haftarah? If you're going to demand the Sefer Shalem, that it be a full text.
That's Baal Peh.
That's considered to be Baal Peh because it's not from a proper text. A Sefer of Haftarah is not a proper text. It's not the whole Sefer. It's not the whole Sefer Yeshaya. That's considered to be oral. And you're not supposed to lay the Torah Shabbat Saboro. But the Gemara says, what other choice do we have? Otherwise, all of Haftarah will be forgotten. So we have no choice but to lay from a Savior of Haftarah. Why do we have no choice, Rabbi Yisai? Look at Rashi. Kevin to lo efshar. She'ein l'chol tzibor v'tzibor yechayles lichtov nevi'im sholem. Every community is not going to be able to sponsor a full set of nevi'im. So if we're not going to lay from a partial text, we're never going to learn at all. The whole thing will be forgotten. We're accomplishing great things for Hashem. So we're allowed to even be made for Sarasecha to violate one of the principles of not reciting Pesukim of Tanakh orally. What other choice do we have? It's allowed. That was in the times of the Gemara. But Magen Avraham over here, Ois Gimel, quotes from the Lavush. Kotzev Lavush. This is 1600s. I don't know when the first printing press was. When was that? Gutenberg. That was in the 1500s, before the Lavush. Kazav Lavush, Tamahasi Kol Yamai Shelo Raisi Nogim Be'echem in a Makaymas Lichtov Haftaris. He says it's a pella to me. How does nobody have a full set of Nevi'im Kedin Sefer Kamosha Koysen HaMegillah? Why don't we have a Sefer Yeshaya, a Sefer Yechezkel, a Treyasar, like we have a Megillah written on a proper scroll? You're not yoytze at all with a printed chumish. It's not written properly like a proper Megillah. So you're not yoytze. It says, what are they being soymechan? How are they allowed to do this? So Magen Avraham says, I'll tell you how. The Gemara already told us himself this gittin. Visa begin, mishum we have no choice. If we're not going to write it down in partial books, we're going to lose all of the Haftarah. Came in chain yachalis, biadatzibra, lignos lehem nevi'im shleimim. We don't have the ability for every community to purchase its own set of nevi'im, which are a full text. But writes the Magen Avraham, im kain, hashta, nowadays, shenizgala melechas hadfus. Already now we have the printing press. Vasvarim, they print svarim. Tebuk lebezol. Every community can buy a full sefer Yeshayahu, can buy a full sefer Yechezkel, can buy a full Tanakh. So also licht of haftoros. Now you cannot just have a sefer of haftoros. The kamlan defus kisiva ma'al yasehi. Even though a printed chumish is not considered to be a sefer Torah, it's good enough for this. That's considered to be a Sefer Shalem, and it's no longer considered to be Baal Peh, now it's considered to be from a printed text, then you will preserve that halacha of not reciting Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh, but rather from a printed text. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, even though it's said in the Gemara, you can learn from a sefer of Haftiris, because they had no other choice. Eis lasos Hashem, a favorite of Asecha. If we're not going to learn from a sefer of Haftiris, so the whole halacha, we're going to lose all of Haftira. If you're going to demand the full sefer enough. Every community can't possibly purchase a range for such a thing. So fine, they had a sefer of Haftiris, but says Magen Avraham, now that we have the printing press, the Haftarah should only be learned from a full sefer or from a full Tanakh, not from a sefer of Haftaras. And this is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, but then the Vilna Gaon says even further. Vilna Gaon argues that he doesn't think a printed Tanakh is any better than a sefer of Haftaras. It's not written like a proper Navi. And that's what the Levush was talking about. So the Levush and the Vilna Gaon felt that you should really have a proper set of Nevi'im that's written with halachas of sefer of Nach is supposed to be written, like Megillah Esther. Only then can it be called Mitoch HaKsav, keeping Torah Shebichsav from the Ksav, as opposed to saying it orally. If you'll say it from a printed Tanakh, that's also called oral. It's really no good. Sefer writes the Mishnah Berurah like this, Ayiz Dalet, because of a Levush, why don't they write it like a Megillah? It's not written properly. And the Taz in the Magen Avraham says to Mishnah Berurah, Yashua Minig. They say, no, it's okay that people used to use a Sefer Haftarah. Because it was Eis Lasos Hashem. You can't use the back of the stone chumish. That's why sometimes you see people get up to lay in the haftarah. What do I need this whole big Tanakh for? I have my handy chumish. No, it's better you have to use the Tanakh. That's the Magen Avraham. If you don't have it, mikom makom im ein lehem rak haftarah nitfeses b'chumish yesh lismon gahake. Okay, the Gemara already said you can do it. Shlo levat akriyas haftarah eis lasos Hashem efer sarasecha achachatzilo bevaday roy v'nochon shielu chol tzibur neviim shenich tovim beklav. Okay, fine, we'll get to that in a second. So certainly every shul should have a Tanakh, and that's where they should lay in the haftarah. If it's possible, he says, then you should even have a klaf. They have here in yeshiva. Shenich tovim beklav kedin. The names of a Kaddish Baruch are not written by Kedusha on a printed text, obviously, from a printing press. That you should have a proper klaf. Only then is it called Mitoch HaKsav. That's why the Vilna Gaon's practice was that if they're laning from a printed text, not from a proper klav, the Vilna Gaon would read along with the Baal Korei. Sometimes you see people doing this. Why? What do you accomplish by doing that? It's not because... What? He can't be much to you because he's reading from a printed text. You're also reading from a printed text. How are you any better than he is? The answer is, because the only time we have to worry about this halacha, what did Tosfos tell us in Masechta Tzmura? The only time we have to worry about reciting Psukim and Tanakh orally is if you're being mighty others. Oh, so if he wants to be mighty me in the Haftarah, he better be learning from a proper text. For me to be mighty myself, I don't need to be learning from a proper text. Like Shema, you can say orally. I can say Az Yashir orally. I can say the Haftarah orally. But to be mighty others in the Haftarah, you should really be learning from a proper text. What's called a proper text? Magen Avraham said a full Tanakh. The Vilna Gaon said a real klaf, like a Megillas Esther. But if you don't have any of these things, the Gemara said, Mesech Pizgitin, you could even learn from the Haftarah in the back of the Chumash, because Eis Lasos Hashem, Heferus Haresecha, better to do that than do nothing. But if you're going to do that, maybe it's best to read along. That's right. That's the halacha.
What about some shuls they have, like for the haftarah, that everyone reads it themselves?
So, we don't have time to get into why there are some shuls that do that. Some shuls learn Kohelas everybody themselves, or Shir HaShirim on Pesach everybody themselves. There were two minhagim. Did everybody say it themselves, or was one person who learned it on behalf of others? Two different minhagim. That is not, I don't think it's related to this. It's not related to this. Okay, Rabbi, so that's the halacha. So the Dvarim Shebaal Peh are supposed to remain Baal Peh. Dvarim Shebichsav are supposed to be Bichsav. How do we have a Gemara then? What choice do we have? Eis Lassus Hashem Eferus Arasecha. If we're not going to write it down, we won't have a Gemara. All of Tarsh Baal Peh will be lost. Tarsh Bichsav is supposed to remain Bichsav. How do we recite Psukim? Baal Peh. Tosfos told us only when you're being Moitzi Acher Midei Chavosim you have to worry about it. Not for myself. I could say all the Pirkei Tehillim I want. I could say Shema Baal Peh. But when it comes to the Haftarah, we said, where you're being Moitzi others, you should be careful either to learn it from a full Tanakh or from a Klaf. If you don't have either of those, then perhaps it's best to read along. You know, learn from Haftarah, but even if you don't read along, we could be Mako. Again, Eis Laso Slashem Heferus Arasecha. Better to violate this halacha rather than to give up on the entire minhag of saying the Haftarah. Halacha of saying the Haftarah. But how does this work, Rabbi Yosei? Again, we dash in this from a pasuk. This is not a pasuk in Sefer Avadah. This is a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. Ki al pi hadvarim ho'ele, dvarim shebaal peh, supposed to be baal peh. Ksov l'cha asad dvarim ho'ele, dvarim shebichsav, is supposed to be bichsav. What gives us the right to say, you know what, we're going to lose all of Tarsh baal peh. You know what, we're going to lose all of the meaning of saying the Haftarah. So what choice do we have? Forget about this halacha. What gives us the right to do that? Eis lasus l'shem eferus arasecha. Machabek. What gives us the right to do that? Everybody say, what do you say? How do we have the right to do that? So, Sefer Yerayim says, or how did Tosfos know that it only applies when being mighty others? What other halacha do we have? If it's supposed to be Baal Peh, it's supposed to be Baal Peh. If it's supposed to be Basav, it's supposed to be Basav. Now, only when you're being mighty others. Where did Tosfos get that from? So the easiest answer here is always to say, it's all Derabbanan. Even though it's derived from a pasuk in Chumash, it's all Derabbanan. That's what the Sefer Yerayim says. Sefer Yerayim says over here, Simen Kuf Chav Ches, Dvarim Shebichsav, Yeh Terosh HaGomer Baal Peh, Vishabal Peh, Asa La'omer Bichsav, Baal Peh has to, Bichsav is not allowed to be said, Baal Peh is not allowed to be written down. Hello, Kasha, how are they able to do this? Just because Eis Lassos Hashem Eferus Arasecha? How are they able to do this? Hello, Kasha, Dechsuve Asmachta Ninhu Umidarabananu. It's only a Dindarabanan. Why would they impose such a Dindarabanan? Mishum Shayinu Omim Dvar Shebichsav Baal Peh, because if you're going to recite Psukim Baal Peh, no one will write it down. People say, oh, who needs to write down this Tanakh? We know it all Baal Peh anyway. What use is there in writing it down? Nebuch Goyim know Tanakh much better than we do. Some religious Goyim. You say a beginning, they know the end already. You see people in the drushes over there. They're finishing the psukim. By us, halavai. But, okay. Shemayinu, we're going to know it all Baal Peh. What's the point of writing it down? And then, Gam lo hayu maminim ame haaretz kokach. Ki omim lo nechtevu. The ame haaretz will say, nah, there's no such pasuk like that. So that's why I always have to quote it from a text, so people believe you. Otherwise, they'll say you made it up. I quoted a pasuk in a drasha. A guy told me, there's no such pasuk. I said, there's a pasuk. He said, I looked the whole Sefer Mishlei. I quoted a pasuk in Mishlei, Leif Chacham Biyad Hashem, Leif Melech Biyad Hashem. He said, no such pasuk. I said, dude, there's a pasuk like that. What do you want from me? The guy in Machlok, is there? So I showed him finally. We pulled out a Tanakh. We showed him that there is such a pasuk. Finally, Reim says the whole thing is the Rabbanan to avoid confusion. All right. What's another possibility, though? That's not that satisfying. We're deriving this from a pasuk in Chumash. What else can we say? So we could go to the other extreme and say that you're right, this is an Iser min HaTorah, and that's what some Sefer says, and there's a Tashbetz like that, and many Achronim say, this is an Iser in the Torah to write down oral things, the Tarsh Baal Peh, or to recite orally the Tarsh Bichsav. How did we do this then? Because of Eis Lassos Hashem, my favorite Sarasecha. We need to accomplish something great, so, okay, forget about these. Well, why? So we could have said, this is extreme, that this is an example of Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim Lakor Dovim Min HaTorah. There are certain times that Chazal have the ability to tell us not to violate, not to fulfill one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Where do we have such an example? So there's a whole sugi in Yevamos. Goes on from Dapim. Do Chazal have such a power? Do they have the power just to tell us to sit home and not, you know, take lulav, let's say? On the first day, Sukkot, the Chaliyah is B'Shabbos, because you might carry it in the Rosh Hasharabim to a bucky to learn how to shake the lulav, or not to take Shefer, Rosh Hashanah, Chaliyah is B'Shabbos, you might take it to learn how to blow in the Rosh Hasharabim. So they just have the power to tell us to stay home, don't do this mitzvah today. Or do they even have the power to tell us, Bekum v'yaseh, to violate one of the Yisurim in the Torah? That's a sugi in Yevamos that spans many dapim. And the Gemara concludes that Chazal do have a power to tell us to stay home and not fulfill a mitzvah, and they even have the power to tell us to violate one of these surim in the Torah, b'horosha l'migdor milsa. If it's on a temporary basis, to accomplish something great. Elio Bahara Carmel. Word kavam. You have such examples. And this is quoted by the Rambam over here in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mam Halacha Dalet, where the Rambam gives a famous imagery to this principle. The Rambam says, V'chein imro l'fi shah, l'vat o mitzvah saseh o lavo o mitzvah loy saseh, k'dei l'hachzir rabam l'das, in order to return all of Judaism, or multitudes to religion, o l'hatzil rabam yisrael m'likashu b'dvar macherim, in order so they not violate greater yisurim, Osin lefima shetrichim hashah. You can do it. And he gives the example, kishem sharoife chotech yado o raglo shalzeh, just like a doctor will amputate a limb, kidei sheyichya kulo, so his whole person should live. Kach beizdim morim bizman min hazmanim lavo oksas mitzvos lefishah, kidei sheyizkaimu kulam. In order so we should be able to fulfill the greater good, you have the right to violate certain Yisurim, not just to say, stay home and don't take lulav, don't take shofar. Kum va'aseh, to be proactive and violate one of the Yisurim in the Torah is allowed, on a temporary basis to save the entire goof, for the larger good. Sha'amu chachamim, harishonim, he quotes him in Gemara Masechet Shabbos, one reason the Gemara has. You're allowed to violate Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, Gemara Masechet Yuman daf pehei amabez, one reason, and this is the reason we accept, is v'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yamuz b'hem. However, before the Gemara arrives at that conclusion, the Gemara quotes another pasuk: "Vishamu v'nei Yisrael Shabbos lasts as a Shabbos. You should keep Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos." And the Gemara derives: "You should only keep Shabbos today if you'll be able to keep Shabbos tomorrow. But if you will be chas v'shalom dead tomorrow because he's in a life-threatening situation today, so violate Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos tomorrow. Chalel alav Shabbos achas, violate one Shabbos." So violate today, in order to be able to keep Shabbos tomorrow. You amputate one limb in order to save the whole body. So Chazal do have such a power to say, look, in order for the greater good, we can violate an Easter in the Torah. So is that what's going on here too? Were it not for the fact that we wrote down the Torah Shabbal Peh, the whole thing would have been forgotten. Is there any greater good than that? So okay. So we have to, even though we're dealing with an Easter d'oraisa of writing down Tarsha Ba'peh, or saying orally Tarsha B'chsav, we'll allow it to say the Haftarah. Otherwise, what other choice do we have? We'll lose the whole Haftarah. Or we'll lose all of Tarsha Ba'peh. We have no choice. It could be that's what's going on here. And where do Chazal derive this power from? So Elchanan Wasserman writes in the Sefer Kovei Shiurim, he has a kuntres called Kuntres Divrei Seifrim, where he addresses many fundamental issues in Tarsha Baal Peh. So one of them is this. It says, where do Chazal derive this power from? Yesh koach biyad chachamim lakor davim in a Torah to tell us to accomplish a greater good. One is allowed to violate one of these Yisurim in the Torah. It says it's based on the pasuk, lo sasur min hadavar v'hir tzifrei, oy zayin, lo sasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha, don't veer from that which they tell you, to the right or to the left. Yamin v'smol, says the Sifrei, afilu marim beinecha yamin shu smol, al smol shu yamin. Even if they tell you the right is left and left is right, you know, you have to listen to them. What does that mean? Even if they tell you something that's wrong? No, Rabbi Chanan said, it can't be they tell you something that's wrong. We have a concept called par helam dover shel tzibor. If the Talmid Chacham make a if the generation make a mistake, you have to bring a karbon if they make a mistake. Not that we have to listen to them blindly, even when they're wrong. No. What it means is, says Rabbi Chanan, if they tell you in this instance to violate one of these surim in the Torah to accomplish something great, you got to listen. Yamin shu smol. It's really us, sir. Chazal tell you, you have to do it. You have to write them Torah Shabbat, otherwise the whole thing will be forgotten. Yesh kach biyach hachamim lach adavim in HaTorah. V'kum v'aseh. However, the Rambam says with two provisos. Number one, it's in order to accomplish something great, and it has to be a horasha. It has to be a temporary measure. They can't override it on a permanent basis. Yeah, no?
I mean, I was just going to ask that before. Like, it seems like it's like, oh, so hasha. Like, it's like certain things apply only for like that certain time period. So doesn't it, like, I feel like for the past, you know, couple hundred years, thousand years, you know, it's been pretty consistent. There hasn't been any, like, changes.
About 1,500 now, yeah, a little more, yeah.
So this is
1,800.
So, like, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to that certain time
period? I'll say even better than you. You're saying, how long is this going to continue on for? I mean, how long can we call this a temporary measure? We're almost at 2,000 years. I'll say even better than you. What about something that doesn't need to be written down? Should we minimize? Should we write Bekitzer? Should we write, with Rashi Tevis, if you can leave out a letter and put in an apostrophe? Should you do that? To minimize that which you're writing down. So if this is a violation of that halacha, really, then we should minimize to what's necessary. We shouldn't every time, guy who has, interest in learning publishes, a whole set of svarim. Maybe that's not right. It should be minimized. So it's really difficult to accept that that's what this is based upon. If that would be the case, it should be temporary. This is going on and on and on. And we should minimize that which we write down, but we don't have such a limitation at all. Therefore, it seems that it's really based on something else. How are we able to violate? Again, the question we're dealing with is, Torah Shabbat Peh is supposed to remain Baal Peh, Torah Shabbat Sav is supposed to remain Bersav, but how do we say the Haftarah? We said now we don't have to do this anymore, we shouldn't do it. But how did they allow a Haftarah from a text that wasn't considered to be a printed text? It was a half a sefer. How did they allow them to write down the Gemara? It's supposed to remain Baal Peh. So we said, no, Ace, Lassus, Hashem, Eferis, or Esechel, to accomplish great things, it can be allowed. How? You're violating an Issa D'Oraisa. You could say the whole thing is the Rabbanan, but it seems like we're dealing with an Issa D'Oraisa. Yeah, no.
When we're saying Torah Shabbat Peh here, are we saying, like, only, like, Gemara Mishnah, like,
Medrash, the whole thing.
So, like, what about Sfarim from, like, Achronim Rishonim?
Oh, saying, that's like, all Torah Shabbat Peh.
We're
stuck. What's going on? So perhaps the answer is found in the Tarsis Yishanim. Rabbi say, look over here. Mishnah Masech Bezuma Oisches. Part of the Avayit of Yom HaKippur was a Kohen Gadol would lay from a Sefer Torah. What did he lay? Not surprisingly, the Parsha is dealing with Yom HaKippurim. Where is that? Parshas Achrimois. Parshas Emor, which is in the same Sefer Vayikra. A few prakim later. And then Parashas Pinchas. Where's Pinchas? Sefer Bamidbar. So says the Mishnah. Kohen Gadol Omed u'mekabel v'korei achrimos v'ach be'esar. L'chodesh. So first he read achrimos, that's the Avodah. Then in Parashas Emor, the Parashas Moadim, that section dealing with Yom Kippurim. Goel Sefer Torah menich b'cheiko. He would do Hagbo Glila, hold the Sefer Torah. He should say, there's more here than what I just read to you. The part from Parshas Pinchas, he would lay in orally. Sif Mar says, why did he lay in it orally? The Gemara picks up and I am at Aleph. Over here, second line. Why did he lay in it orally? Niglo v'nikri. Let him do what? Roll it to Parshas Pinchas. How long is that going to take?
3 minutes.
Less. I mean, yeah. if you've never rolled a Sefer Torah before, but a minute, less, from Vayikra to Bamidbar, okay. Gemara says, no, we can't do that. Amar Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua, Amar Rav Shesu, if Yishe ain't going Sefer Torah, but Tzibur, they cover that Tzibur. You can't do this because of Tircha de Tzibura. Make a whole Tzibur wait. So what do they do instead? Lein et Baal Peh. Says the Rashba, such a thing should apply in our times as well. They open up the Sefer Torah to the wrong place. Forget it. No rolling. Close it up. Lein Baal Peh. From printed Chumash. Don't try that at home. But that's what the Rashba says. The Ritva disagrees. He says, no, come on. Here, all of Gan's Klal Yisrael is waiting. You know, I avoid Yom Kippurim. You're going to ask him, excuse me, Einshulix, you know, we have to roll a little bit over here. No. But in your little people over there, you have 40 people at the minion. Who cares? They'll carry on the conversations for 40 seconds longer. No one's going to even notice. Fine. Okay, so it was a big tircha. They didn't do it. Why do you have to do that? Bring another Sefer Torah. Rav Yehuda, you're going to make the first Sefer Torah look bad. Yeah, this Sefer Torah you laid from. Why are you putting it away? Bring out a new one. You'll say, we do that every time. Yeah, but we have different oilim. One oila for the Kriyas HaTorah of that week. The next oila for Rosh Chodesh. Separate oilim, separate Sefer Torah. Here, it's just the Kohen Gadol, all from two Sefer Torah. What's wrong with the first one? To bring out a new one? So that's why they picked it up and read Baal Peh. Right, that's what's concerning the Gemara. But Frektais is Yishanim, a bigger kasha. How are they able to do this? I thought Varm Shibichsav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. And don't tell me that that's only being Moitzi Acherim Yidei Choyvosam. Here you are being Moitzi Acherim. It was the Avayda, Yom Kippurim. Frektais is Yishanim, Asar Shabakum Shabakudim Kare Baal Peh. You're not allowed to say it orally. Here it comes. This is the punchline. This is a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Here, because of the tircha that's involved, they didn't make you do this. What is the mitzvah min ha-muvchar? Okay, so that's the way out over here. It's a din d'oraisa, yes, but it's only a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. What is the nature? Why is there a mitzvah min ha-muvchar? To lay in the Baal Peh. And that's how we were able to violate it, because Esau says, if it's covered at Tzibor, you can accomplish something great. Not because Yesh Kerech V'yachal Chamim L'akadav min ha-Torah. If that was based on that, the Gemara should have brought it up in this whole discussion of Sechtus Yivamas about Yesh Kerech V'yachal Chamim. The Gemara should have said, well, we were learning from printed text. Of course, Yesh Kerech V'yachal Chamim L'akadav min ha-Torah b'kum v'aseh. But the Gemara never says that. So it doesn't sound like this has anything to do with Yesh Kerech V'yad Chacham. It's not based on that whole big principle. That would be the case. It's a temporary measure. We should minimize it as much as possible. No. This is because we're dealing only with a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. So if we can accomplish something great, it could be mayuchal in the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. But why is there a mitzvah min ha-muvchar? What is the nature of this mitzvah min ha-muvchar? So if Shechter quotes over here, yeah?
I mean, like, just according to that, like, then all of us, like, without anything else after, like, then all of us, like, you know, we're dafka not doing a mitzvah min ha-muvchar.
Yes. That's exactly where we're headed. Yes. Hate to say it. What a choice do we have? So Shechter quotes over here in the Nefesh HaRav, he flipped the page, or his test, quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik, who argued that what the Gemara is telling us in Masechta Tzemura is that Dvarim Shebaal Peh are supposed to be communicated from generation to generation, Baal Peh. Dvarim Shebichsav are supposed to be communicated from generation to generation, Bichsav. The mitzvah min ha-muvchar is, this is the ideal way of communicating this part of the Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh was never supposed to be communicated, Bichsav. It was supposed to be communicated, Baal Peh. Torah Shebichsav was never supposed to be communicated, Baal Peh was supposed to be communicated Bichsav. But the nature of the mitzvah min ha-muvchar here is the ideal form of communicating Torah from one generation to the next. That's why Taisa says in Masechtas Tzemura, when does this halacha apply? What's the only time it applies? If you're speaking to others. We're talking about the ideal way of communicating Torah from one generation to the next. Why? And there's a difference, he says. We'll get to why in a second. And he says, and there's a difference. When now that we're no longer doing the mitzvah min ha-mufchor, we're communicating it in the wrong way, that has a consequence. We have no choice. So we have to communicate. Better, that's why the Gemara says, Esa shalom eferi sar secha, better to communicate it in an inferior way than not communicate it at all. What are you going to do? Not communicate Torah Shabbat Peh? Not write it down? The whole thing will be lost. Over here, we're just dealing with the mitzvah and the mufkar about how to communicate Torah. So the question is, if you're not going to write it down, the whole thing will be lost. Forget about how to communicate it. The whole thing's going to be gone. So therefore, we have no choice but to write it down. But the mitzvah and the mufkar is to communicate Dvarim Shabbat Peh, Baal Peh. Dvarim Shabbat Bichsav. And now that we don't do that, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik claimed that there's a difference. There's a consequence. What's the consequence? So he writes over here like this. Look at the Rambam, Perek Beis of Chazmam Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes that in order for one Beis Din to disagree with an earlier Beis Din, they have to be Gado Mimenu V'Chachmo V'Minyan. They have to be greater in number and in wisdom. Halacha, we're familiar with the Gemara Masechtas Beitzah. That's why we really can't undo any of the dinim derabbanon that appear in the, you know, in earlier generations. We're not greater, but chachma v'minyan. But what about a din deraisa? This darshan with a kavah chaymer, or darshan with another one of the midah shatarn addresses by him. So says the Rambam, then every beis din can disagree with an earlier beis din, even if they're not as great as them. That's what the Rambam writes over here. Perik Beis Hokas Ma'am Aloch Aleph. Beis Din Gadol. Shadar Shubachas Men Amidos Kefima Shanira Beinayim. Shadin Kach V'dino Din. They adjudicated a case based on their psak. Va'amad Achreim Beis Din Acha V'nira Lo Tam Acha Lister Oso. And later Beis Din disagrees. Hareza Sosa V'don Kefima Shanira Beinav. They have the right to paskin based on what appears to them to be correct. Shanemar El Ashrefet Asher Yihyeh Bayomim Ahem. You have to come to that judge that he lives in that generation. Ein lecha l'shev, it should be yamecha. That's by dinim d'oraisa. It's counterintuitive. By dinim d'rabbanim, which is legislative, you know, we're not darshaning Torah Shabbat Peh, the rules of the midah shetorah nedreshes b'hem. We're just making a gzera. Then you have to be greater than the previous bezin. When it comes to darshaning the Torah, we're all on equal footing. Yiftach b'doro kitshmu b'doro. So Kesef Mishnah asks a very important question for all of Gemara learning. He says, if that's the case, when it comes to learning Torah Deiraisa, you can disagree with those who preceded you, even though you're not as great as them. So why is it, what's the biggest kasha you can have in an Amora? Is it Tiyuvta? When he contradicts the statement of a Tana, who's from an earlier period. Why? Why is a Amora stuck? When there's a Tana who contradicts him, let him disagree! Yiftach b'dayroi k'shmul b'dayroi! That's the Kesef Mishnah's question. Vim toimar. Im kein amaylo pligi amoroi atanoi? Why don't they disagree? Debachol dokhtam akshin al amoroi mimas nisan o mibraisa. Every time he has a kashman amoroi and a mishnah and a braisa, we reject the amoroi. Why don't you just disagree? V'tzarech loima ano da amri ki hai Tana. Everyone has to say, I'm holding like this Tana, I'm holding like this Tana. Just disagree! Why did the Amoraim disagree with the Tanoim? So the Kesef Mishnah says, Efshar Loimar, Shemiyom Chasimas HaMishnah Kimu VeKiblu Shederes HaChronim LoYachgo Rishonim. They accepted upon themselves not to do it. V'chein Asu Gam Chasimas HaGemara. So too we did at the time the Gemara was sealed. Shemiyom Shenechtema Lo Nitna Rishus LoAdam LaChukaleh. We accepted upon ourselves not to do it. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. It was an unwritten rule that we didn't do it. However, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested perhaps the Tanoim and Amoraim, that was an unwritten rule. We find sometimes Amora who did disagree with the Tana. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra, Rav Tana hu hu balik. Even though Rav was an Amora, he felt he was entitled to the privileges of being a Tana, and he disagreed with the earlier generations. Rav Tana hu hu balik. So you see, you can disagree. Amoraim could have disagreed with Tanaim. They accepted upon themselves not to do it. However, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik claimed, after the Chasimus HaGemara, Medina, we have no right to disagree with them. Because at the time of the Gemara, they were learning Baal Peh. They were learning in the ideal fashion of how the Torah is supposed to be communicated from one generation to the next. We now are learning B'chsav. It's all written down. It's no longer communicated in the same ideal fashion. And therefore, we don't have the right to disagree with them anymore, because the Torah has been watered down a little bit. We're not communicating it in the proper way. And therefore, we're no longer in the same league as existed. That was Shafta's Lashon. He spells it Lamed Yud Gimel Ayin, Liga. We're no longer in the same league as the earlier generations. And even though the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, you can disagree with the previous generation, that is only if you are in the same league. Rav Moshe printed the Igros Moshe, so if you're a student of the Igros Moshe, you know Rav Moshe disagrees. First of all, he starts with the Shaila, like with the Rishayim, the Shulchan Aruch. That's about pretty much always Meshuvah too. After that, it's fair game. Some Sefers, Negev Yehudas, Moshe will take them all on. It doesn't. So that was controversial in the time of Rav Moshe. Someone wrote a Sefer against him. Polemical Sefer against Rav Moshe, pointing out every time he disagrees with the Nevi Yehuda or some Sefer or someone from the Nesivis, someone from the earlier generations. So he printed a Sefer called Mana LeIgris. We have it here in the library. The answer to the Igris. His name was Rabbi Yom Tov Schwartz. Mazel would have it. Nobody ever even knows about this Sefer anymore. Huh? But he had a following for a time. So Rav Moshe responded in the Hakdama to one of the volumes of the Igros Moshe, and he said, even though he never doesn't think he's as great as a Sam Sefer, the Noid of Yehuda, he feels that he's entitled to his opinion, meaning he feels that he's in the league with these Achrayim, that he can disagree. Where the Vilna Gaon disagrees all the time with the Rishonim. In fact, Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes from the Vilna Gaon. He said that if a person passes like the Shulchan Aruch only because it appears in the Shulchan Aruch, he's over on the Easter, the rise of Lo Sedar Pnei Godol. You're showing favoritism to someone you admire. You admire the Shulchan Aruch, so you're passing like him. That's Lo Sedar Pnei Godol. You're showing favoritism. You should pass him like you think is correct. That's because the Vilna Gaon held he was in the same league as the Shulchan Aruch, as the Rishonim, so he disagrees. He takes sides in Machlokes Rishonim. Okay. We generally don't do that. We don't feel we're in the same league anymore, perhaps, with these individuals. But certainly, you know, that's arbitrary, though. But from the time of the Gemara, that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says we are by definition all in a different league, because they communicated Torah Shabbos Baal Peh the way it's supposed to be communicated orally. And we now are communicating Torah Shabbos Baal Peh Bichsav. It's no longer, and it's an ideal format of being, you know, the way it should be transmitted. And therefore, we're by definition in a separate league. What we didn't explain is why is it Torah Shabbos Baal Peh should be communicated Baal Peh and Torah Shabbos Bichsav should be communicated Bichsav. We didn't explain why is it supposed to be in that fashion. And perhaps Rabbi say under our noses, we weren't paying attention, another cusp has occurred. And perhaps we're even on a lower madrega than they were even a few hundred years ago. Even 100 years ago. So we'll have to explain that tomorrow. We'll get back to that. Finish this up and then we'll move on.